Short sermon number 12, We Have the Mind of Christ. Bernard Lonergan ended that which he called in his little book, Insight, with this paragraph. In the introduction, he says, I stated a program. Thoroughly understand what it is to understand. And not only will you understand the broad lines of all there is to be understood, but also you will possess a fixed base, an invariant pattern, opening upon all further developments of understanding. If I may end by adding the present context to that assertion, then I would say, this is Lonergan still, that it is only through a personal appropriation of one's own rational self-consciousness that one can hope to reach the mind of Aquinas. And once that mind is reached, then it is difficult not to import his compelling genius to the problems of the later day. Now, I spent over a year plowing through that book, Insight, with probably a 50 or 60% comprehension, but that sums up the purpose and his desire that the mind of Aquinas, Thomas Aquinas, be imported into the problems of our present time. I've read Lonergan with great interest and to no small benefit, not only that book, but many others. But in all my reading, my goal was neither to appropriate my own rational self-consciousness, nor to reach the mind of Lonergan or of Aquinas. I came to know very early, in fact, in the incipient moment of my Christian experience, that reality is Jesus. And I have come to know over the 50 years since then, 50 plus, that real intelligence is the mind of Christ. I've also read with eagerness and to no small profit the writings of Jürgen Moltmann. In all my reading of that great theologian, my goal was not to reach the mind of Moltmann, and I probably never would or could. I'm currently reading Karl Barth to immeasurable spiritual benefit and ongoing spiritual benefit. But my goal in reading Barth is not to reach the mind of Barth, however great that theological mind may be. I may even say that I have read the Apostle Paul, whose writings are scripture. But even then, my goal and desire is not to reach the mind of that great apostle. I never will. Aquinas was great in his own time. Lonergan in his. Moltmann and Barth were and are influential in their time and ours, but only in the measure that these men had the mind of Christ and let it be in them. Paul said, we have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16. In saying that, the apostle did not say, I reached the mind of Christ, but we have the mind of Christ. This is a matter not of appropriation, even of appropriation by grace of that mind. It is a matter simply of grace that we have the mind of Christ. We, that's plural, hamais, have, that's the verb ekomen, the mind of Christ, nun Christu. In the context, Paul has just quoted Isaiah 40 in verse 13. Who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Then Paul says, but we have the mind of Christ. I recently came to another impasse in my study. It happens often enough, and those who preach and teach the Word of God and who give their lives over to study please know that you will reach certain impasses and moments of human frustration. In this one, I simply said to God in my frustration, I can't know you. Then this thought came to me as if in rescue to me, but you have the mind of Christ. You can know God because you have the mind of Christ, who knows God, and who in fact, other than being the man Christ Jesus, is God. As Jesus says in Matthew 11:27, no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. I can't know the Father then unless the Son reveals him to me. But I have the mind of the Son, the man Christ Jesus, who is God and who is, like me, a man, and yet not like me, because he is the God-man. I am a man in Christ, 2 Corinthians 12:2. But I cannot know God unless God reveals himself to me. In fact, God is only ever known by revealing himself. My goal is not to have the mind of Christ even. Why? Because I have the mind of Christ. By the mind of Christ, I can know God. In a day of artificial intelligence, we should recognize that real intelligence and not artificial is the mind of Christ. To have the mind of Christ is to have the faith by which we understand and know the Lord. For by faith we understand, says Hebrews 11:3. The Lord God can be understood and known by human beings. Otherwise, why would the scripture say, but the one who boasts should boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, showing faithful love, justice, and righteousness on the earth, for I delight in these things, Jeremiah 9:24. We cannot know God comprehensively, for though he is knowable, he is also incomprehensible, and by that I simply mean he is known by God, who knows himself totally. But we can understand and know the true God because the true God is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We cannot know God with omniscience, for to know him with omniscience is to know him comprehensively and fully and totally in toto. But we can know and understand him in his acts, in his miracles, in his act of reconciliation of the world to himself in Jesus Christ. We know him in Jesus Christ. We know the mind of the Lord simply by having the mind of Christ the Lord. And by faith, which we have as a gift from him. For if we have faith, it is a gift from him. By that faith, we understand him. We understand, for example, that God is love and that he demonstrated this love in sending his Son to be the propitiation of our sins, that we would live through him. We understand this by having the understanding of Christ. We simply have the mind of Christ who understands and knows God. We have the mind of the one in whose face shines the knowledge of the glory of God. In 2 Corinthians 4:6. Jesus, whom we see in Hebrews 2:9, with the enlightened eyes of our heart in Ephesians 1:18. We know that the Son of God is here. That's really how 1 John 5:20 should be translated. For is come here means is here having come. And he has given us understanding to know the real one, the true one. And we are in him who is real, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the real God and real eternal life. It says that the Son has given us understanding to know God, whom we cannot know ourselves by searching, by studying, by investigating, by reaching. The Son has given us understanding because he has given us faith by which we understand the Lord, who shows faithful love in his constancy and in his omnipotence, who manifests saving justice and righteousness on the earth in the freedom and unity of his omnipresence and his ever constant love. It says, not that the Son is here to give us knowledge to understand the true God, but that he has given us understanding to know the Father. I can't know God, not in and of myself, not by appropriating my own rational self-consciousness, not by groping to find him, as the heathen do, the so-called heathen, not by reasoning, as the rationalists do, not by much studying, as those who are prone to madness do, but by having the mind of Christ. To have the mind of Christ is not my goal, for we have the mind of Christ. To let the thinking and the intending that was in Christ Jesus in Philippians 2:5 also be in us, now that's the goal. To be armed with his mind in 1 Peter 4:1 to 2. That's the goal. So I'm no longer frustrated that I can't know God. I'm content that I, in myself, cannot know him. I'm content that I'm not competent to know him, that I'm not adequate to serve him, that I'm not able to love him. I'm content to know and to acknowledge that I'm not sufficient in myself for any of these things or for anything else that matters, but that my sufficiency is from God. My adequacy for serving him and for serving you is from him. The Holy Spirit, who was also given to us, pours out the love of God in our hearts, the love of which we are incapable in and of ourselves. The great shepherd of the sheep, whom the God of peace has brought up and out from the hosts of the dead, has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people by his mercy, and the sheep of his pasture by God's election by grace. By his election, not first of ourselves, but of himself. For he has elected himself to be God for us and not God without us. We are his by his election, not first of us, but of his Son, Jesus Christ, rejected for us and elected for us so that we are elected in him. To know, beloved, our election by God, 1 Thessalonians 1:4, is to understand by the understanding that the Son of God has given us, that first God elected himself to be for and not against us, and that he first loved us by electing himself to be for us, and by electing Jesus Christ as rejected and elected for us, and then to render our choice to deny him void, thus determining us to be the choice. He determines us rather to the choice to believe, against which there is no other valid choice. The Lord is my shepherd, I say in concluding this short sermon. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack his mind by which I understand and know God. I shall not lack his grace by which I am made strong in my total weakness. I shall not lack the understanding which he has come to give and which he is present to keep giving me, by which I know the true and authentic and real God, and by which I distinguish him from all idols. I shall not lack the faith he gives by which I understand that the universe was made by the eternal power and divinity that is invisible to me, but perceived by faith. The Lord is my shepherd, and I will never lack the hope of eternal life, which he who cannot lie has promised. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not lack the love with which his Spirit floods my heart. The Lord is my shepherd, and I will never lack the bold confidence that God has reconciled the world to himself in Christ, whose mind I have, whose love controls me. The great shepherd of the sheep is my shepherd, and I will not lack the perseverance that I need to accomplish the will of God. For it is the perseverance that is in him, in Jesus, the perseverance in which he endured the cross. It's the perseverance of hope, for it is this hope that gives perseverance its persevering power. Amen.